to the skies very high.
Hello and welcome to Talking PPG Radio. My name is Will Jones. The following information is not for training, but personal experiences and reflections on the world of power paragliding as I know. All guests of Talking PPG Radio have formed their own ideas, thoughts, and opinions on the world of power paragliding. They are not necessarily the thoughts or opinions of Talking PPG Radio. You may agree or disagree to what you hear. Talking PPG Radio is here to get conversations, thoughts, ideas about the world of power paragliding. Safety first. I highly recommend a qualified instructor. Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoy. All right, guys, welcome back. Will Jones, Talking PPG Radio. All right, what we got for you today? Just a couple of things. Just kind of a little bit of this, a little bit of that. Well, the one things I wanted to do, I told you I was going to try to get in touch with the guys at the Palm Bay, but it looks like it's not going to line up. Got one other thing I want to try to do that I'm trying to get together before the Palm Bay fly-in. But I'm not going to talk about that because it may fall through. So, but anyway, one of the things I wanted you to know is, and I'm sure by now, if you know, we're what, 2.5 weeks out from the fly-in, and of course it is March 18th through the 20th, 2016. So, and by now you should know it is not, well, when I went a couple of years ago, it was actually at the Palm Bay Airport. It is not there. It is at GDC, which is better known locally as the compound. So, and I'm sure by now you should know that if you already have plans to go there. Now, and if you're wondering what the compound is, and I do believe they had it there a couple, you know, maybe 3 years, 4 years ago. Well, I think the very first one, I think it was actually there. And basically, out there during the time when, you know, they say the boom time or whatever, when it came to real estate and stuff like that. And I also thought maybe it was one of those things where they built and it was below the water level or something like that. And they never built any homes out there, but they did put the roads in before they built the homes, and the roads are still there. So I don't know what's going on with that. I can't remember the exact details, but anyway, it is at the compound this year, 2016. And I think there's even an RC field, flying field, radio control flying field out there, if I remember correctly. It's been a while. Anyway, so just make sure you know it's not at the airport this year. Like I said, I wanted to try to talk to those guys before the show just because the location had changed. But I ended up calling. It's funny because I called Don Jordan, and Don Jordan is basically, I don't think he's got anything going on or with them anymore. He will be there. But I knew he at one point was actually, you know, really involved as far as coordinating everything. So, and he had directed me to a couple other guys to call and talk to, and well, it's just not lining up, which it happens, no big deal. But what I did find though is when I had interviewed John Jordan a couple years ago about, and what I wanted you to know was that, you know, the Palm Bay fly-in, a 100% all proceeds go to donations, or all the are considered donations, and they give them to local charities like the Palm Bay Police Explorers, the Palm Bay Victim Services Unit. And I found an old interview where I talked to Don, and he kind of talks about, you know, where the money goes to and how it's used. So we'll let you hear that, get back to you in a second, talk about a few other things that's going on my mind and what's happening. So anyway, hang in there. I'll be right back. And what you're about to hear is a old interview with Don Jordan about what the Palm Bay fly-in is all about as far as donating the cause and what it's all about. So thanks for listening. I'll be right back. Will Jones, Talking PPG Radio.
Let me ask you something. Now, this is to benefit
It's to benefit the PALS organization, which is the Police Athletic League, and what they do, the city, they used to be in the city's budget for $150,000 a year, uh-huh. And, you know, when the crunch came, they had to cut back on a lot of programs, and PAL was one that lost all of their funding.
Oh, wow.
What they do, they work with young boys that either in trouble or they don't have a father at their home, and they organize sports or outings for them and teach them baseball and soccer and all that and work with them. And this is a fundraiser. Every penny we make, so for our expenses, is going to go to the PAL organization. So very worthy cause.
And this is like your third annual, or this is the third time you've
done it? Yeah. This is our third annual. Okay. And it's run by the Palm Bay Police Department, which also flies, they have APCC, two PCCs, and they use them in their programs. So.
Oh, that's excellent. Yeah. Yes, I talked to them a couple of years ago about, I think maybe it was the first time that they had it and everything. And,
All right.
All right, guys, there you go. That was Don Jordan. Interviewed him. That was the third annual. Of course, this is the fifth annual that's coming up. The PAL organization, which is, I'm guessing that's still the charity or the main charity that they are giving all the donation. As you said, everything except for, of course, the expenses of whatever like that will be donated to the PAL, which is actually ran by the Palm Bay Police Force. And if you go back, I can't remember what episode it was. It might have to see if I can't search for that and see where I, if you remember, several years ago, it might have been 5 years ago, Palm Bay was actually really, really big in the news about using PPGs when everything about the drone, well, when the crunch came and municipals start getting rid of all their helicopters and airplanes and things like that, that they would use to do search and find rescue or heck, following a police chase, when they start getting rid of all of those different really, really expensive aircraft, Palm Bay decided to try to use PPGs. They got a PPC, which you heard Don, I think they still have it, I don't know. It is several years later, to supplement their, Air Force, so, but anyway, just a little information I wanted you to hear about, where the donations go to. At least I think one of the donations go to, if not all still 100% goes to the PAL organization. So, and I want to thank Don for that. Well, that was that was 2 years ago. And I did go down that year and absolutely enjoyed and look forward to going back again. It's been so busy these last 2 years, trying to get my business up and going. And that's right at the beginning of the season. So not sure yet, like I said, if I'm going to be able to make it this year. It'll be a last minute thing where I just throw my gear in and, pull it out of the garage and go. So anyway, let's go to the next thing that's going on with me here. Let's see. I kind of wrote down a list here for you. All right. Hey, I don't know how many of you have heard of EquiSearch. I think I'm saying it right. Well, basically, and you can do a Google search, of course, or whatever like that. I think it started many years ago down in Texas. I can't think of the guy's name. I guess I should have done my research. But he actually used horses to help search and find or search and recovery for lost people down there in the open areas and open ranges and stuff. So, well, 4 years ago, 5 years ago, maybe, if you were at the Indy Air Hogs, you remember there was a individual that was missing in southern Indiana. And if you know where they have their fly-in every year at Scottsburg. And there were several of the guys that took off and went looking in an area to see if they could not locate this individual, whatever like that. They did not find her, but later on, I think I even did a little short informational thing about when they actually ended up locating her, and it was a husband did something, blah, blah, blah. But anyway, Scott Rader, which I've been talking to here for the last, last month and a half. Well, let me go back. Brandon Oberlin from the Indy Air Hawks contacted me, and it was probably right before the beginning of the year, I want to say, maybe later. I can't remember exactly. I was with the fam or whatever, and we were eating, and we ended up talking about doing a search and recovery here in Kentucky, and he wasn't going to be able to make it, so he got in touch with me and got me in touch with Dave Rader. Dave is actually a part of the Ohio, I guess, branch of the EquiSearch, and Brandon and several of the other Indy Air Hawk guys have already done some kind of searching. I think it's considered recovery, not necessarily search and rescue now, in Ohio, you know. And I was like, well, that's cool. It's something I've always wanted to, you know, possibly expand our PPG, you know, what we, you know, our little fly machine. Yeah, we go up and enjoy, but to actually put it to a good use always interests me, you know. So I ended up talking to Dave, and we've been going back and forth for, and of course, this is such the bad year to do, you know, because of the weather pattern that we were in. What was it, 4 years ago, 5 years ago, we had a weather pattern. Me and my local buds here, you know, Jim, which he's been on the show before, we had gone up every month that year. Plus, I remember doing a, was it Christmas Eve? Christmas? I don't know. You know, January 1st, we never stopped flying. The weather was so perfect. It was unbelievable. But of course, we're having one of those weather patterns right now where you don't know what's going to happen. You know, the sun may be shining, but the wind's gusting, and that's what it's all about, you know. Or it may be, you know, the wind's, but it is like 30 something degrees, you know. And don't get me wrong, I got heated gloves, jumpsuit, mask, all those things to keep myself warm. But if you are a new flyer, or you've been up in the wintertime, it gets close to freezing, you're 5 minutes, you're done. I don't care what you have on, it is not fun at all. So you got to bring it, you know, into the, you know, 40s at least. And then you can stay up probably 45 minutes to an hour if you get the proper gear on. Like I said, I've been up before when it was snow on the ground, you know, but it was still considerably warm, and I was able to fly for probably about half hour, 45 minutes. But when you get down to that freezing level of, and then the wind chill, you know, and no. It's not fun at all. It's miserable. It's absolutely miserable. I don't care how much gear you have on, you know. So, anyway, my point is so Dave, I've been going back and forth with Dave, and there is a individual that has been missing, and if you want to take and do a Google search on Dunnville, Kentucky, the young lady has been missing since September. I can't remember. I did look it up. I'm sorry, I don't have the details in front of me. But I've been trying probably for the last month and a half to get down there, me and Jim-san, to do a kind of a search and recovery for these guys. Okay. But the weather pattern has been so horrible. And it just, it's funny because, you know, and I've talked to Dave, and he understands, and that's the big thing, guys. You have to realize that we are very limited when it comes to flying, you know. You know, I don't know where you guys look at it or check. You can go to U.S. Air Mets, and Windfinder is usually where I end up, the website I go to, and it just put in WW Windfinder, and that's what I look at to see what the winds and stuff are going to be. You know, we've had where the winds look like they're going to be, but it was freezing, you know, in the morning, you know, and then later in the evening, the winds have picked up, you know, gusting, you know, it may have said that it was going to be 3, 4, or 5, but the gust was like 15, 16, you know, can't do. We just can't do it. So it's been so frustrating, and I hate to, you know, and that's what I told him. I said, we're going to do it, and this is the best time to do it, because the area that he wants us to check out is near the river, the Green River, and it is no foliage, you know, on the trees and everything. So this is the best time, to be able to look and see. And as he said, that we'll probably be looking for clothes right now, which is okay. But it's been so frustrating that the weather that we're in, the weather pattern that we're in, it's just been windy, gusty, cold, too cold to fly, you know. And we're about two hours away. Me and Jim, we're 2 hours away. We still plan to do it. We're just waiting for the weather pattern to change. And we're hoping that this, you know, we're going to get down there before the foliage gets back on the trees and everything, so we can get a good look. But it's just so frustrating to be able to, you know, I talked to Dave and it's just like, dude, I'm so sorry, you know. And he's been down, so he's like 3 hours, I think, from, you know, where he lives at in Cincinnati, up in Ohio, down to Dunnville, Kentucky. And, you know, I'll call you, you know, let you know, you know, and it's been a no-go. So, anyway, that's what's going on right now. We didn't get a chance to do it this weekend because the other guy that, and it's best to always fly with somebody when you do something like this. At least, I think so, you know, cover more ground just in case, you know, especially you're going in a location that you don't know about. You know, you'll have somebody have, you know, constant radio communication with, and it's just a good idea, especially when you're doing search and rescue, search and recovery stuff. So, but anyway, I'll keep you up to date on that. And it is so frustrating to just, you know, you want to do something like that. It just makes you feel good, you know. And that's what I told Davis. It has nothing to do with time, money. It's just, you know, hey, that's just, you know, a good nature, a thing you just, you, something that you feel good about is what it's all about. You know, it's not about money, it's not about time. I got, you know, I'll find the time. Money is, it's nothing, you know. That's what's great about our little thing, other than, you know, gas and, you know, I got the equipment and time is it, you know. So anyway, that's one of the things that I've been doing here lately, trying to hopefully the weather will change here soon. Spring's coming in here, and like I said, we'll get down there before the leaves and start blooming again. So, all right, we'll get to the next thing. Thank you for listening to my story. All right, guys. Let's see. All right, had an individual to email me. Chuck, what's the last name? Robertson, out of Redding, California. Hey, man, thanks a lot for the email, and hopefully I was able to answer some of your questions. There's a couple of things I wanted to, he had emailed me about, you know, storing your equipment, long-term storage. I'm not going to get deep into the email that he sent, but his equipment was stored for a long time, you know, 4 or 5 years, something like that. And the question, one of the questions he asked me is about the wing, you know, storing the wing. Of course, the motor's going to be all right. You know, it's not a problem. It'll probably, I think he only had a few hours on his motor. He was still talking about break-in time and everything, but not a big deal. But when it comes to wing storage, and he asked me about, you know, what I think he should do as far as, you know, will it be all right? And I kind of left it up to him because, you know, the UV is the worst. So hopefully when you store it, you're dark, dry, make sure you put it up. It was dry, you know, and apparently I think, you know, if you don't have that many hours on the wing, you know, probably still real crisp. And I told him, I said, basically, you know, you may want to send it off. And I'm not really sure because, you know, when it's, if it's stored after, you know, 3 or 4 years, and I did tell him to look over it real good, you know, to make sure there wasn't no, you know, holes in it from animals, critters getting to it and eating and chewing on it. But my question to you guys, do you send it off if you know you've stored it in a dark, dry location where nothing's really going to happen to it other than maybe and I don't even know if it was a temperature controlled environment. But if you just store it that long, if you only have a few hours on that wing, should you send it off? What do you think? You know, I don't know. I didn't know what really to tell him. I guess I could call somebody and ask them what they think. I told him It wouldn't hurt to send it off just to check, you know, get a check on it. Maybe that'd be the, you know, the thing to do. Myself, I think I may or may not. I don't know. I guess I would open it up and, you know, and inflate it and see what it looks like. And like I said, check to see if, you know, if it's still crisp and, you know, there's no mold, mildew, any things like that. So I kind of left it up to him. Just, you know, I let him decide what he wanted to do on that. And other than just making sure there's no critter holes in it, I think it'd be all right. I don't know. Just kind of a question to you guys. What do you think? You send it off or not? The other thing he asked me about was fuel mix. Okay, he has a Simo. I have a Simo too. From Fresh Breeze. He's a Fresh Breeze guy. Avgas or pump gas? What do you guys use? I use Avgas. You guys that use pump or don't know if you want to use Av or pump, the only thing I can tell you is to make sure there's no ethanol in the fuel, which is, you know, I think the last several years people have been talking about that. And the question is why? Is because the ethanol seems to wash out the bearings, you know, and cause premature failure with your bearings. So do not get pump gas with ethanol. And I'm not really sure, it depends on your manufacturer on if you should get the higher octane stuff. So I think my friend Jim, I don't know if he used the high octane or not. I know he used just regular pump gas. I think he went to regular pump gas and he's having really good success with it. So the other thing was oil mixture. You know, Simo USA says you should mix it 32-1. I'm like in between that, anywhere in between 40-32. Now I know on the Fresh Breeze that they say 50-1. Don't do it. If I was you guys, don't do it. You know, it still will run really clean. And I'm not sure what some of the other motors are and what they're saying their oil mixture is, but if you're a Simo guy, make sure it's like 50-32-1, you know, and you won't get foul plugs or anything like that at all. So, the other question was asked, or he was kind of asking about, he lives out in Redding, and I don't know if anybody out there knows of a really good instructor. He has not, you see, he actually only had a few flights before he had to store all of his equipment and basically starting all over again. And I always tell you, get training, you know, get quality training, okay? And a great reference is to go to USPPA, and they do have a list of USPPA qualified instructors, okay? Now, I was not trained by a USPPA instructor, you know, but I was trained by somebody who, I'm a flight junkie. Y'all know who flight junkie number one is Kurt. It was training, you know, it may not have been up to the level of, you know, what some of, you know, what the USPPA, like the syllabus and all that. But at the time, there was not USPPA training syllabus and all of that when I took my instruction and everything. So Kurt got me in the air safe, and you know, I did go to somebody who trained me and showed me how to inflate the wing and all the equipment and stuff. And you should do that, okay? You know, get some training. I would suggest a USPPA or a qualified instructor, but just make sure you get some training and don't just say I can do this, because you're going to destroy yourself or destroy your equipment. You know, it won't be pretty. So, and there are people out there that are more than willing to help. And of course there are people out there that you will have to pay, you know, or you know, get somebody to show you what to do. All right. And the great thing about getting instructed, about, you know, being instructed, is they will also help you pick the equipment, the right equipment that you need, you know. Getting on eBay like I did the first time, buying my first piece of equipment, stupid move, was looking for something cheap to get in the air. I wanted to get a PPG and get in the air. even thought about, hey, I can do this myself. You know, if I watch these videos close enough, I'll be able to figure it out. Don't do it. I ended up getting the wrong size motor. You know, they also teach you about the wings and what size wing you need, you know, all that stuff. So safety first, guys. Always safety first. Okay? No more, no less. The air is not going to go anywhere. You know, take your time. I know the excitement of getting in the air is there, but take your time. All right. And let's see. One of the things, and one last thing here, and it's going to be kind of a short show for you guys until I get some people lined up to help me extend more time for you guys. Airspace DVD by Jeff Gowen. I am going to go ahead and get that. I'm going to check it out, and I'm going to do a review on that. Hopefully you guys have all, especially new guys, don't forget about the PPG Bible 4, which is available. If you're looking for any information, man, you know, I still have the first one, and it's just, I don't even think I have a cover on it anymore, and he's already done put so much more information in the PPG 4 Bible, just obsoleted the one. So, and don't forget about all his mastering PPG videos, which I think I talk about those before. I can't remember. Several episodes back. Now I got those actually on my phone, so, or my tablet. Which one is it? So I can go by. I'll still look at those, you know, to get brushed up on information. So I'm going to get the airspace one. I think it was a couple years ago. I remember he was talking about it. He got it out, and I never did get a chance to actually check it out. And then I will try to give him a call and talk to him about airspace and everything. Talking about a busy guy. So, but anyway, guys, that's all I got for you. Real quick, I just wanted to put that out real quick. Don't forget about the Scott Adair Skyman Air Palm Bay fly-in, March 18th through the 20th. Not sure if I'm going to be there yet or not, but then we have the Beach Blast. And I'll try to get in touch with John Black and see if I can't see what's going on with the Beach Blast. Haven't talked to John until this time last year, right before the blast. So I didn't make it down last year. So, and then also we got the Endless Foot Drags that's coming up too. So all those are PPG2 ratings. So hopefully you guys, there are more of you guys that actually got the PPG2 rating. But don't let that scare you away. Okay, that's all I got. I appreciate you listening. This is a short one, but we'll have to try to get some more people on and find some more things to talk about. And it's just getting back in the groove is what it is, you know. That's the main thing. I'd been away from doing this for what, well, over a year, and then it was spotty right before then. And so the biggest thing is trying to get people lined up to talk to, and you know, everybody's busy, and I've been so busy that that's what's been the biggest deal, is actually finding the time to sit down and get everything lined up and getting the people lined up and getting them call and me call them. And you know, so bear with me. We'll see if we can get some more of these out. And I thank you for listening. And if you have any questions, email me. Always welcome to come on the show. I love just sitting and talking to people about where they're flying, the location they're flying and things. And one of the things I found out, I guess, over the years, that people love hearing about PPG and, you know, what's different, what's new. So I would and that's the other thing. I'll try to get in touch with some of these manufacturers and stuff. What I need to do is see what's new out there is what I need to do. You know, I've been away in and out of the game for what, a year and some, and I feel like I've been away for like years and years and years, and I'm sure there's some new advances and new equipment out there, and I just gotta locate it and see if I can't find what it is. So all right, Will Jones talking PPG Radio. Thank you for listening. Like I said, I'm trying to get back on it, trying to get you some more good content out there for you. And I appreciate you guys. It's been, oh gosh, how many years I've been doing this? Well, this is 81. So, which is shocking. When I sat down and did the first one, I never imagined that I would get to 81. And so it's been something else. Been some good, some bad, like I said, but you know, I still love flying PPG and talking about it. It's just, man, life, you get busy, you know, and things change. So anyway, we'll stop there and I'll talk to you soon. Will Jones, talking PPG radio. Later, guys.
Into wrongdoing.